Well, good morning. I'm going to see if I can pull this all together. I've shared it. This will be the third time I'm sharing it, so I have pulled notes from my other time sharing it and bring it all together. I'm going to start with what is Shepherd's Fold, and then we'll go on to why I went. I'm going to read what they have said Shepherd's Fold is. What is it? Shepherd's Fold is a Christian training discipleship center. The program is designed to help any man who is in need of spiritual and emotional help. This is developed by providing a disciplined, controlled, and structured atmosphere. An intensive Bible study is conducted as means to help the resident understand his problems as well as to live it out on a daily basis. We at Shepherd's Fold believe the Bible is the infallible and verbal inspiration of God, and through His Son, redemptive work, a man can find a solution to the problems facing the world today. That's what Shepherd's Fold is. That's what it does, only if you allow it to do that. Why I went? I guess most of you know where I came from and who I am. As I look back over my childhood, we moved around, we switched churches, but I became a Christian when I was 17, was baptized the following summer. I would say a lot of my problems started when I was around 20. And as I look back over my teen years, I sometimes wonder if there wasn't stuff that led up to it. I don't really know. But around 20, I'd got involved in pornography and was bitter about my circumstances. I confessed my sin a few times to where I was in Wyoming, to one of the men from church there. Talked to Dad at one point, but I would always fall back away. It came down to it, I wasn't to the end of myself. I enjoyed where I was at. At 23, I moved to Idaho. Things got much worse while I was there, but I had moved from an unstable church, and I was running from my problems, to another unstable church. And I thought I was going to leave all my problems behind, but I learned differently while I was there. I had no accountability and didn't really want any accountability at that point. One thing that I found through all that, through my time here, through my time at Shepherd's Fold, accountability is very important, but it only works if you're 100% open and honest. Things went from bad to worse while I was there. And I moved out here in 2020. I seemed to find some stability and found a very wonderful church. But I was not done looking for fulfillment in the world around me, which caused me to flounder in myself and wonder why life had to be the way it was. I can't thank God enough, and I can't thank you all here enough for not giving up on me and for God not letting me go. If it wasn't for you all, I don't know where I would be today. It's only by God's grace that I talked to Roger, and I had set some goals in my life that if I didn't meet them, I should possibly consider doing something, going someplace. And so when that time came, I had went. At that point, I decided to go to the Fold. And one of the big things I don't know if I necessarily learned it before I went to the Fold, after I came back, or while I was there, but even if you're living on your own, schedule, structure, and discipline are all important. And that was one thing that I think was a major downfall up until I went to the fold was not having any of those things really. So I kind of do whatever I feel like it, whenever I feel like it. And yeah, it doesn't work. At least it didn't work for me. At the fold, and I'm sure I know many of you here seen this in me. You've probably talked to me about it, but I didn't connect the dots. I came to realize I was very controlling, and I would stress and worry and would try to control a situation. But if it didn't go the way I wanted it to, I would end up depressed. And yeah, many of you here know that. I'm sure you talked to me about it many times, but at the end of the day, I wasn't ready to listen. And while I was at the fold, I would say that I got there in May. And if you were to ask me, I think I hit my hardest time there was in November. I didn't want to be there. And if you were to ask the guys there, they would have said I hadn't changed up until that point. And the change took place after Christmas. One of the things that actually happened while I was around here. I showed up to church Wednesday night, and like there was nobody here, and Gussie showed up, and somebody asked where everybody was, and I popped off where I knew, I think it was Rogers, Glenn's, and Jeremy's were at. I had talked to some of them. And somebody was like, well, how do you know? And from that point on, I would say I started connecting the dots. I went home, I went back to the fold, and the guys immediately noticed the difference. Something had changed. And thanks to the person that called me out on it, it was where things started to turn around. I don't want to say the first 7 months at the fold were a waste, but in a lot of ways, maybe they were, I don't know. But the last six were a lot better. It took me a long time to realize that God had put people in my life for a reason and to bring me to the point of letting go and giving it to Him. Also learned that having a very close and personal walk with God is a very important and absolute necessity to have victory over any temptation or sin a person can face in life. Does not mean you will not struggle or fall, but it just means you give it to God and confess and get back up. I guess I'll finish this little bit here. Some of my favorite memories are the first class Bible discussion. And Bible discussion we had a Bible reading from 8:20 to 9 o'clock every 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And then at 9 o'clock, from 9 to 9:45, Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, it was only went till 9:30, and then Fridays it went to 9:45 again. We would discuss what we read. Well, when you get a dozen men together and you're discussing Scripture 5 days a week, it can be very interesting. You can have some very lively discussions. You can also have some very boring discussions. But you get a lot of different outlooks on life and a lot of different opinions. And it was probably, that was honestly probably one of my favorite things there. It's probably one of the things I miss the most about it. And then we had a disc golf course there, and I enjoyed throwing disc in my spare time. And then just the all-around camaraderie I had with the guys there. Get a bunch of guys together, it can be fun. On the classes, a little more on the classes, I guess. Some of the different questions I've got from people here and from yeah, different people around, is that there's two, I guess one of the other big things is sociogram, and a lot of people wonder what sociogram is. Sociogram probably only works in a setting like that. And this is what I told one man that asked me about I think it's Matthew 18 or 28, I forget where it is, where it talks about, you know, when you have a problem with somebody, to bring it up to them. And I said, well, the only reason sociogram works in a setting like this is because we never listened to our authority before we got there. We didn't listen to anybody. We did what we wanted to. And that's the reason sociogram works in a setting like that, because it forces you to sit there and listen to what people have to say, the problems they have with you. But it's a structured environment where residents can bring concerns, clear up misunderstandings, and to point out other blind spots. It's also a time to learn how to receive constructive criticism and to give it. It's really what sociogram is. And it happened every Tuesday, and it was from 10 to 12. And thankfully, none of my fellow residents are here. But they would, if you were to ask any of them, that was the part that I hated the absolute worst. I did not like to sit there and listen to anybody tell me what they didn't like about me. It's the way I looked at it for a very long time. And until I learned how to accept it and grow from it and actually work on the problems that they were pointing out, until then, until I learned how to do that, then I didn't like it. But it can be very intense. And if you got sociogram for the same thing more than 3 weeks in a row, yeah, the staff is going to be pretty hard on you. Especially after you've been there a while. And for me, well, I was there 7 months, and I was still getting sociogram for some of the same stuff. So, yeah, it's what I needed. Posigram happened on Thursdays, and I always thought we should have switched posigram and sociogram around. Posigram lasted about 10 minutes, and on Wednesday afternoon they'd just pass out a slip of paper. It had one person's name on, and you had to say something positive about it on Thursday. That happened at 9:30, so I don't know why. I always thought they had those two backwards, because we're only upbuilding each other for 10 minutes. It's only one person, and we can sociogram everybody, and we can talk about it for 2 hours. So, but we could also build each other up outside of posigram. And sociogram, you were not supposed to bring anything to the guys outside of sociogram, partly because it could go south real fast. And, yeah, there was a reason they were there, and you didn't want to bring a concern outside of sociogram. Classes we had and books we studied. I guess I'll go over this. Which book were they studying when I got there? We were studying personal life management when I got there. They were not personal life management. They were studying getting along with people God's way when I got there. And they were halfway through the book or so. And I was kind of like, whatever. Like, I didn't feel like I got a whole lot out of the book that year. I had took that one again. That was actually the book we had just got done studying, like, right before I graduated. Second year was a lot better. I liked it a lot more. We had a different teacher. And it felt like he maybe threw his heart into it a little more, had a different way of bringing it out. Let's see if I can find some of my notes on that. I forget which lesson it was. Lesson 7 was probably the lesson that I enjoyed the most. It was conflict in relationships, which, I don't know, I tend to find conflict even when there's no conflict. And just the thought of that, bringing it out, where what conflict is, what's the biggest conflict of all time, when did it start, and what we can do about it. And the very next lesson was peacemakers. And how, yeah, conflict might be good, but at the end of the trail, am I finding the conflict, or am I being a peacemaker? Is kind of what I took, we'll say what I took out of that book. Then there was the lesson on peacemaking, which it looks like I was not in class that day. And then forgiveness. That was my all-time favorite book. Our next book we had was Personal Life Management, 7 Habits of Wisdom for a Well-Ordered and Fruitful Life. Along with that one, Steve Eversole teaches that one, and he can't make it in every day, or I say every day, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And so he can't make it in all the time, so we would have Putting Off Anger on the days that Steve couldn't make it. And then after that, we would have had Integrity. I think we would have had Integrity. We also studied Basic Bible Study, Living a Pure Life. And we did a book on fasting. I don't remember what the name of it is. I couldn't find it last night. And a book on prayer. And we studied a book on the attributes of God. Those were all classes that we had. And then through the summer here, on Wednesdays, they'll bring in, so Steve comes in from outside. He teaches 2 classes. And then Glenn Mast, he also comes in and teaches a class. And then on Wednesdays, they'll bring in different men to share their life stories. One of the men that came in was Don Feener. He's one of the local ministers from one of the pilgrim churches there. He came in and shared his life story. Manny, what's his name? He has another discipleship program similar to Shepherd's Fold. They're close. I can't think of what his name is. He's an Amish guy. He came in and kind of shared his story. I'm trying to think if there was any other men that came in. I'm sure there probably was. And I know this summer they were trying to add another class, a financial class. And then, yeah. So those are classes that we had. And at self-studies, Walk of Repentance, Beside the Still Waters. They recommend those. Not everybody does them. I have both of them. I didn't finish either one of them. And then Footprints of Christ is something that they give you to do. You're supposed to hand in at least one lesson every Monday. And it just kind of walks you through the Bible. That one's very easy. It felt like it was almost on a very, let's say, 6th grade level, 7th grade level maybe. It was very easy. I breezed right through that one. But those are the self-studies that we did. One of the other things I just seen here that I've written down that I learned or am trying to learn, doesn't always work. And it's something that, I struggled with a lot before I went. I still struggle with it. Is how to keep a positive, friendly attitude under self-afflicted pressure. And yeah, it's something that I struggle with a lot. I tend to find self-afflicted pressure, and then I don't always stay very friendly. Well, the other thing, this stuck out to me one time during sociogram. If people are saying something, sociogramming me for something, I have given them a reason to say what they're saying. I have done something, I have said something, acted in some way to give them a reason to say what they're saying. That's one thing I had to tell myself a lot about Sociogram, is I've given them a reason to say this. I don't think it holds true for every aspect of life, but I think too often we can be like, ah, that person, they're kind of mad at us. Yeah, but you probably did something someplace to give them a reason to say that. Some of the different quotes that stuck out to me while I was there. Worry never did produce anything in its dark room except a bunch of negatives. Very true, but I don't know. I still don't think I get it all the time. And worry does not empty tomorrow's problems. It just empties today of its strength. No one can make you have negative emotions. And worry is nothing more than a perverted imagination. When I'm critical, am I being as critical and looking at my life more than I'm looking at the lives of others? That one came to me one day out of Sociogram, something they had Sociogram before. When we are vulnerable and admit our weakness, it'll put us in a position to depend more fully on Christ. When I complain, I'm telling God, I know better than you. When a person experiences shame, they find it nearly impossible to turn their attention to something beyond their immediate feelings. And I got that out of a book that Roger had given me when I was here at Christmas time. I don't even remember what the title of the book was. You had preached on it the Sunday I was here. But that one I really liked, especially during. I often would read it after I got Sociogram really hard, because Sociogram always to me felt very shameful. And if you could look beyond your immediate feelings, it was something that really stuck out to me there. As I look ahead, now that I'm home, I should have maybe rewritten my goals a little bit. I want to take what I learned and apply it to my life. And I have to ask myself, well, what did I learn? And I'm not even sure I totally know what I learned. But there's two things I know that I learned. And one of them is I have to have structure and discipline in my life. And the other one is I have to have a close relationship with God. Those two things I do know I learned. What else did I learn? Well, I guess maybe I'll have to let you all tell me what else I learned, because I'm not sure I know. I also want to accept the advice and direction of the people around me, which will help me be the man God wants me to be. I know God has a plan, even when it does not feel or seem like it. It takes giving God everything, fully trusting Him, and resting in the fact that He knows what's best, and let your life be God-controlled. The things we face in life is God allowing it for, and I don't know if I lost a paper or what that thought is, but the things we face in life is God allowing it for. And then in Proverbs 17:3, the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Yeah, just the things we face in life is God doing that. The finding pot for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Do you want to fire this up? But we, But we can be sure he will never leave us nor forsake us. Yeah, that was the rest of the thought there. Just the thought of God allowing it, and then looking at Shepherd's Fold, looking at my time there, looking at every aspect of it as a finding pot or a furnace. And it was the Lord refining me. The last half of Hebrews 13:5, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it's something that I have to keep telling myself time and time again when I find myself in hard circumstances, that God has put me here and he'll never leave me. And then Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And then just not dwelling on the negatives and the hard things in life, but dwelling on the positive things. And yeah. Just giving God the glory for what he's done in my life, and accepting the circumstances that I find myself in, and looking at the bright things. Is there any questions? And then I have a few pictures of some different activities and the different group pictures and stuff that we had done. You were not, if you made excuses, it was not going to go well for you. But there was a time to maybe kind of explain your point of view. Okay. But if you started down the road of making excuses, it was not going to end well. And I can think of different times where I made excuses or others. And before this, so we'd all go around the room and share everything that we had on our paper. And then, you know, Ezra would choose somebody to, we'd start with a particular individual and we'd talk about everything that he had for him. And the residents could speak up. Ezra would, you know, call on us at different times to ask our opinion. Different staff would speak up. If somebody started making excuses, you were going to have two or three residents were going to have their hand in the air, and we're going to call you out right there. So you learned how to, maybe if you had any comments, to accept it, to figure out how to accept it and not have an excuse.
Mm-hmm. Was it the staff that associated around you, or other?
The other resident. Yeah. It was a time where, let's say, our peers could bring concerns to us. Stuff that they could see that maybe we had never thought of.
Did I understand you right that was the only time in the week they could say anything negative about you?
And that was the only time they were supposed to. Some of us guys had got to the point where we had a close enough relationship that we might talk to each other and be like, hey, you know, like, I know you're kind of slipping in this area, like, better shape up there. But you tried to keep that pretty much to a minimum. Because you didn't want to get caught doing that.
What do you call the other part?
Posigram.
And that you could do all week long, but you had to do it during those 10 minutes.
Yeah, and you only had, so like, they would pass a slip of paper around, and it might just have, I might have your name. And that was the only person that I posigram, like, in those 10 minutes. Yeah. And sociogram, yeah, you had a name, you had a paper with all the residents' names on, and but you didn't have to write everybody up. You had to write yourself up, but you didn't have to, so I would write myself up, and then I would write one other guy, or I might not write anybody up. And then you'd go around the room, and it would start with, Ezra would call on me to start and be like, I love you, Caleb, I have nothing for you. I love you, Joshua, and I have two things for you. And we'd just go around the room like that. It doesn't always.
Like, if there's, maybe somebody has some real, some people are just easy to be around, but then you have people that have a lot of rough edges. What keeps a from? Was there anybody to step in and say, that's enough? In other words, to keep it from a mob spirit, because I know that happens.
I can think of two instances. One where I forget who even sociogrammed the guy, and I don't even remember what he was sociogrammed for. And he started making excuses. And when he started down that road, there was four hands in the air today. Ezra didn't let us all talk. But two of the guys got to talk. And Ezra kind of, then he brought it around because he's like, you just stop making excuses. The other guy got really mad. Somebody had sociogram for something. And everybody knew it was going to happen. He needed sociogram for what he got sociogram for months before it happened. But everybody was scared because everybody knew he was going to get mad. And so when it finally happened, exactly what everybody thought was going to happen, happened. And everybody was too scared to say anything. Until there was a stare down. And then Ezra finally was like, once the guy threatened to come across the table, and he let the stare down last for a few minutes, then he called it off. But there was a mob spirit there. It's just everybody's too scared to say anything. Other than that, I never really seen it in the whole 13 months I was there. I'd say overall I was with a very good group of guys. We didn't have anybody walk out the entire time I was there. And that happens, I'm going to say, fairly regularly. Probably one person every year. But in the year I was there, we didn't have anybody, thankfully. Came close a few times, but I know the one guy, he wanted to leave, but his family was wise enough to tell him they're not going to come pick him up. So he stayed. Yeah, when I graduated, there was four married men. Yep.
Well, God bless you for sticking it out. You went through with it.
Thank you.
Making the initiative and all those things that, are hard to do. Being a man, just God bless you.
Thank you. It's in the shop there. It's one of the buildings. One of the buildings we had done there in the shop.
Can everyone see that, or is that too small?
I can see it from here. Can you see it from back?
Austin can see it. Joel can see it. It's one of the buildings there we had done. Go to the next. Yeah. Don't take very long with this. Oh, that group picture was taken the end of January. The guy, not the white-haired guy behind me, but the other guy behind me, in the back there, He was leaving. This was the night before he left. He was having some health issues, and he had went in and got some tests done, and he had colon cancer. And he was within 2 months of graduating, so they graduated him within 2 weeks and let him go home. And last I talked to him, which was about 3 weeks ago, he was going in for his last surgery to put everything back together, and they pretty much told him he's cancer free. So it was very trying on us guys.
Was that group only residents, or was that residents and counselors?
That's residents and counselors. So this guy right here is one of the counselors, and then that guy in the back, he's one of the counselors. Those are the only two counselors there at that point. Now they have three, but yep. We were doing a project in New York City of re-roofing that house, and I had sent a few of these pictures, and there was some wires hanging down. And so very South America or Central America or Africa style, put a ladder up there, and we knew there was no power to him, so we sent the guy up there to clip him off. You can go to the next one, Caleb. There you can see him clipping the wires. So, just hope nobody calls in. We took a ferry while we were there. We took a ferry up the bay, up to Lower Manhattan, went and seen the 9/11 memorial, and I thought it was kind of cool, that big old prison barge sitting out there. And we went right past Rikers Island too. I think it was Rikers Island, right past it. And this was so that picture was there, and then the Rikers Island, I think, is just on the other side of the boat.
That's a prison.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to be escaping it anytime soon. Just another picture of the project there, that house we're roofing. It's the house and school for the Light of Truth congregation. They're one of the pilgrim churches right in the lower Bronx. They're there, yeah, shining the light best they can. That's Kendrick. He was our house parent's little fellow. So it was kind of nice having – he was the only – child that we had running around there for the most part. Ezra had a few children, but he was the only one on the premises that was there all the time, so it's fun having him around. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on there besides some leg exercises, but the guy that with his leg sticking in the air, he was my counselor for the last half of my stay, and he's over, I think he's 70. It's Claire for those that know him. So I just got a kind of a kick out of it, and Claire laying there on the floor doing leg exercises. You can go to the next one. So as far as the work goes, this is the worst job. It's painting lath, and you can see the saw there in the back. And run 2x4 through it, comes out in 6 pieces. And then they lay it on the table there. We spray it. Well, we do lath off and on all year. But January and February, I think this year we did it for 3 weeks. We did the painted lath. And it's going on the ceilings and chicken barns and stuff. Pig barns. And it is a messy job. You come out looking, because they're painting it there, and then you're back up a picture, please. And then you're laying that, so they're painting the edges there, and then you're laying it out flat here, and then you're going along spraying the one side of it. You can move on. And so, next picture. That's how you look at the end of 4 hours. And, yeah, it's just not very enjoyable, but it's probably good for all of us guys. And that was our last day. We were done. We were getting ready to go change and go burn all that stuff. We took a trip to, so right after, it was actually Dennis's wedding. I went to Dennis's wedding, then I flew out right after the wedding. The other guys took this bus, and we went down to Arkansas and gave a program down there, seen the eclipse. I'd say I'm loading up, getting ready to leave that night. That's on the bus. Claire's sitting there getting ready to watch Eclipse. Next. Yeah, this all Eclipse pictures. You can just scroll through. So, yeah, we were right. Okay, that's obviously not an Eclipse picture, but we were right in the center of, I mean, we had, yeah, total Eclipse. So it was great sitting there with Bert. I think everybody went. All the shop guys went. Cooks all went. Like, we had everybody except, we even had some of the board members along. And everybody had their families. So it was a great trip. I rode back on the, I didn't ride down on the bus, but I went home on the bus. But this is, yeah, some night we were probably, I don't know, we had our torches and we were probably dumping oil on the fire and who knows what all. One of the counselors, one of the fish he caught one time when we, Saturday that we went fishing or some evening. Now they were frying up the fish. That's loaded, ready to go to New York City for that job. Another picture. So this guy right here, this is one of the reasons I left this picture in, it was his graduation the morning that Myron Martin, which is a stepbrother to Nathan Oberholzer, which is a good friend of Moe's. So it's kind of complicated. So Myron, it was a graduation morning, so nobody had checked the emails. And so it was Myron, when Myron walked in, is when he had told me that Amos was killed in that accident. And this was, yeah, it was Wesley's graduation. So that's, yeah. Let's go to the next picture. More of New York City. Just an evening activity. We were playing Rook and drinking tea. Yeah. More New York City. Yeah, New York City. The jets were flying over us. I think one of the guys was checking. They were flying over us about 600 feet while we were there in New York City. And we were there for 2 days. And so it was kind of annoying. No peace and quietness. They were about every 3 minutes. And the picture, you can see the two, nothing to say smoke tails, it's not what they are, but, and then the plane in the sun, it was, yeah, kind of only picture we got of that, but there was plenty of pictures of airplanes. White shirts and slacks do not fit in on the streets of New York City at all. I felt like we stuck out like sore thumbs so bad, but it was good for us all. We stepped out and we're practicing singing before the program. More New York City, just one of the skyscrapers there. I thought it looked pretty cool how it goes up. Yeah. I think that's the Empire State Building, if I'm not mistaken. Next. A couple of us guys, they let us in the cabin on the ferry. So it was super cool in there. You can go to the next one. Yeah, out across the bay there in the ferries in the city. That's one of the towers. It's the memorial. Yeah, as we walked, because we walked from the where we got off the ferry, we walked the whole way up to the memorial and then back out. So this is headed back out. Some of the guys from the fold. Okay, so next picture. So he had, this is why you don't swim, Caleb. He was on top of a 12-foot ladder jumping into the pond, which he happened to be my counselor. And somebody threw a tennis ball out in the water, and a bunch of the guys were going to race. Well, instead of jumping straight out like he should have, he jumped at an angle, which was across the diving board. Well, he slipped when he jumped. And we're not totally sure if he landed on the diving board, landed up, kind of hit his head on the corner of the dock. We don't really know. But, yeah, it was pretty scary for a while. Because he went in the water, he went under, but he popped right up. And the guys were there to pull him out. So we put B&W salve on it then after he got all stitched up and wrapped it up. Kayaking Labor Day. This was at somebody's graduation, and I do not remember whose. But most at that time, Thomas, Vernon, Stan. We only had two counselors, and I see three counselors on that picture. So I'm not. It was at somebody's graduation. Some of the guys came back, obviously. This was a Saturday activity. We went and seen a mine. That's what they call the bootleg mine. And then this is next. Back in the mine, we took. Go to the next one. We took that little train that you've seen, and we went back. We went back in 1,800 feet. It was super cool back there. Literally and figuratively. One of the carts they hauled coal out in. And then my graduation picture that they took. And yeah, and then praying for me. So, yeah, that's about the extent of my time there. And then, yeah, I'm sure, well, my songs got sent across the youth chat that we sang. So I'm sure most of you have listened to those. And the ones of you that didn't get to listen to them, well, maybe you can come sing them this afternoon. Hopefully can sing a couple of them this afternoon at youth singing. Is there any more questions? Well, if not, thank you. And thanks for praying for me while I was there. Thanks those of you that came and visited. And those of you that wish you could have and didn't come, well, thank you anyway. And, yeah, pray for me as I adjust to normal life, because it's not always easy.